please. We're going to read a number of portions. Now, the first one is found in Genesis and chapter 5, please. Genesis and chapter 5. Genesis and chapter 5, and reading from verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Down to verse 18, please. Down to verse 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. You'll notice in those verses that we've read and the verses that we didn't read, you'll see a lot of names in there, but all of them, they all died. And we'll see that in a few moments' time as we consider this passage together. Now, over to the book of Hebrews, please, in chapter 11. The book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews and chapter 11. And again, we'll read from verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now to the book of Jude, please. The book of Jude, just for one little verse here, or two verses actually. The book of Jude, the book before Revelation. Quite a dark book, but we're just going to pick out just two little verses here. And Jude, and chapter 14. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesies of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that all the ungodly among them are of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Notice there the ungodly deeds, ungodly committed, and ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And we'll leave the readings at that point. I'm sure God will add a blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, the last time I was ministering here, we did a bit of a character study on Simon of Cyrene. And as I was thinking about taking this meeting, I was considering this great man, Enoch. And I want to consider this evening, this character Enoch. So there's no surprises as we've read the passages together that this subject tonight is a man called Enoch. It's a character study that we want to learn lessons from, and although they may be simple lessons, I hope that every one of us this evening might just take these lessons home with us along our pilgrim pathway. Now, Enoch in the scriptures, we've read of the three occasions, there actually are four occasions, I didn't read it. The other occasions found in the book of Luke in chapter 3, verse 37, I think it is, and there's a long list of genealogy and Enoch's mentioned in there. But these are the three passages that we've read this evening with relation to Enoch. A little is known about him as such, and we'll consider a few little characters that brought before us as the scriptures in these verses would remind us. But it is interesting to note that in the gallery of faith, which is Hebrews in chapter 11, well, we see these great men of God, and we see the acts of Abraham and others, and we see the many passages in those verses as you go through as a gallery of faith, in essence, as you walk through the corridor of time, and you'll see the paintings and the galleries of these great patriarchs on the wall, maybe. And you'll see that Enoch, as we read this evening, is one of those characters. So although there's not very many verses, probably a handful of verses, we've read them this evening, but he gets into the gallery of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Enoch's very simplistic view of Enoch's life, that he fits very simply between the fall and the flood. Between the fall and the flood. And Jude, if you took note of what we read in Jude, we read there that he was the seventh from Adam. Now there's some spiritual significance why the word of God would tell us he was the seventh from Adam. But my understanding is there were two Enochs, and I think the idea is that the Spirit of God in Jude was just really just picking out and just confirming which Enoch that he was referring to. But again, the number seven in scriptures we know is very clear and very spiritually significant, and we don't have the time this evening to go through that. But just again, just some maybe significance there from Adam, from Enoch itself. He lived for 365 years, although in our lives that's a long time. But if you compare him to everybody else that he lived amongst at that time, he was only a youngster. And many others, as we'll consider, lived for much longer than that. But he lived really for the faith, and he lived for his family, and he lived for the fellowship with God. And they're the three maybe pillars that he lived for: his faith, his family, and his fellowship. And I wonder, maybe as I just simply, as I start the remarks this evening, maybe I want to challenge our own heart, and I challenge my own heart, as I challenge your heart this evening. What are the pillars that are holding your life together? In Enoch's life, and we'll consider in a few moments' time of how we unwrap that to a certain extent, but he was known for his faith. He was a faithful man of God. He was known as a family man. And we think again of those things that we'll consider him in a moment. But he also had fellowship with God on a day by day, month by month, year by year. And I wonder whether we too can maybe say those three words as well, that we are reliant on a faith. We have the faith of Christ. And we have a family, whether that's the assembly or whether physically. And then we have the fellowship with God, one-to-one with God. Now, he's assumed to be a married man because we read in the verses that we've read this evening that he had sons and daughters. We don't read of his wife or his wife's name, but he's obviously was a married man because he had sons and he had daughters. Now, if you look through the very characters and many characters in the Bible, we see again of great characters that raised armies and conquered lands, and they did miraculous events, and they did this, that and the other. But really, we don't really hear, and we don't really see. And scripture is quite silent of exactly what he did. But he didn't raise an army. He didn't conquer lands. He didn't do this or that. But you know, it's lovely in these verses. We read it this evening. That it was known by four words. By four words. What do we read those four words? He walked with God. He walked with God. Jude tells us he prophesied, so he must have been a preacher. And again, we'll consider that in a few moments' time too, publicly and privately. I'm sure he was a public preacher, and he would teach. And Jude would tell us of that, of how he preached, the message that he had. But he prophesied, so he must have been a prophet, and he was a preacher too. He didn't raise an army, like we said, and he didn't capture lands, but he was known in Scripture as he walked with God. Now, there are two people that are considered in the scriptures that walked with God. One was Enoch, and we'll consider that, and one was Noah. There are no others in scripture, I don't believe, that the title was given to them. that he walked with God. Now, if you think of Noah, I suppose you can look at Noah would be a picture of Israel, and maybe Enoch is a picture of the church. And what I mean by that is that in Noah's time, he was delivered safely after passing through time of trial. He traveled through the flood, and he was delivered safely after passing through a trial. Well, Enoch is a picture maybe of the church, and we'll see that he was translated before the judgment. He was translated before. He was taken back to God before the judgment. What was the judgment? Well, we said earlier, didn't we, that the man he got, Enoch, was based between the fall and the flood. So the judgment that was coming was the flood that you and I know, when Noah built the ark and such like, and we consider much in Scripture about that. So in fact, God's word declares on two occasions, not only two men, so only Noah and only Enoch had that statement given to them that he walked with God. But not only that, we read it this evening in Genesis in chapter 5, that it's twice in Scripture that we are told that he walked with God. And as I was thinking, as I was reading these verses, even this afternoon, I was thinking about Jack Hunter. And remember, those that know Jack Hunter, about the different ways of reading your Bible. You can read the Bible, you can read it carefully, and you can read it more carefully. So there's obviously a reason why the Spirit of God tells us twice that he walked with God. And we want to consider some facts and some lessons from this character tonight. So that's what the theme of the meeting, I hope, is going to be. It's tonight is walking with God. Enoch walked with God. How can we walk with God? And I want to take one or two headings away with us this evening. Because if you look at Enoch, he didn't have any law. He was there before the law. So he was before Moses. He had no prophets. He didn't have any Daniel's prophecy and things like that to live on. There was no gospel that was revealed. He was well before that. And yet, with the help of God, he walked with God. So let's look at the five headings. The five headings I want to remind our hearts this evening. I want to consider, very simply, I want to consider this man Enoch walking in fellowship. Walking in fellowship. Then I want to consider walking in a wicked world. And then I want to consider briefly walking in what pleases God. What can we do to please God? And then I want to walk close and speak in clearly with relation to testimony. And then finally I want to walk in out of this world. So walking in fellowship, walking in a wicked world, walking in what pleases God, walking close and speaking clear, and walking out of this world. So let's consider the first heading. And maybe if we turn back to Genesis and chapter 5, we'll consider as we read some of these things in here. And we'll consider other passages, I'm sure, as we go through the meeting. But let's just work through this. So working in fellowship with God. Now we read, did we not, in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, Enoch walked with God. We've considered that already, that in verses 22, Enoch walked with God, and in verse 24 it tells us Enoch walked with God. Now, Enoch had fellowship with God. He had that closeness. That's the reason why I gave out Fanny Crosby's hymn this evening. Our desire should be to walk close with him. And Enoch's desire was to walk close in fellowship with God. And we said, did we not, it's not a one-off, it's not, as we mentioned on Tuesday evening, it's not just a Sunday-only thing that we need to do. It's a week-by-week, day-by-day, month-by-month experience that we have fellowship with God. And it's interesting to note, as we read the scriptures carefully, that he had fellowship with God for over 300 years. 300 years. And I'll tell you the reason about the 365 and the difference between that in a moment. But we'll consider 300 years he had fellowship with God. Now I'm sure as we look through the character of Enoch, and we look through the character and the life of him, we see there his consistency as well. Not only his fellowship with God, but his faithfulness. Enoch was consistent. And we read that in Jude, his message was clear. It wasn't a good message as such to the people. The hearers that were listening to the message didn't want to hear that judgment was coming. And yet he was consistent. He prophesied and he preached the message that God had given him. And then thirdly, we think again of his friendship. He delighted in being with God. 300 years, fellowship with God, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, for 300 years. I want to challenge our own hearts this evening. Do we have fellowship with God? Do we have fellowship with God maybe on a Sunday morning, and that's good to have, but do we have it on a Tuesday and a Wednesday and the other days of the week? Well, Enoch did, because Enoch walked with God. If we look down to chapter 5 and verse 22 here, we read here, and I'll just read it, Genesis 5 verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now we read here that Enoch lived, the word here, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. We read here that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughter. So as we said at the beginning, the maths, I'm not very good at maths myself, but if you look at the maths, he lived for 365 years. 65 years, maybe I suggest that he wasn't a saved man, he wasn't a man of God for the first 65 years, but something in his life changed. He had a family. And from that day forward, when Methuselah was born, he walked with God. Now the challenge to us, I suppose, as we read those two instances and two chapters maybe of Enoch's life, the first 65 years and the 300 years after Methuselah had died, the 65 years the Bible tells us he lived, the 300 years Enoch walked. And I remember Jack Hunter, as I listened to one of his ministry tapes a couple of weeks back, and he said basically the challenge to you and I, with relation to our lives, are we living or are we walking? Are we living or are we walking? There is a difference. Are we simply living life? We're getting up on the morning, we're doing our things during the day, and we're going to bed at night, and we're just simply living the life. But are we like Enoch for those 300 years when his life was changed? He turned to God, and for 300 years he walked with God. Now I'm very conscious there are those in the meeting, as we think again of walking with God. Having a child and having a family brings distractions into the home. I know that myself, being a father of four kids, going on for the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord for that. But I know over the years, we've had those distractions. We've had those times when money was short and we've had to maybe do other things. The pressures of family, the pressures of work. Well, Enoch had the same pressures. He had the same family. He had the same family pressures. More than likely, he had work commitments. But he consistently walked with God. Life's not easy, I know that. But the desire and desire of Enoch was to walk with God. So I suppose at the end of my first remark there, are we having fellowship with God? Are we walking with him? Are we walking with God daily? Enoch was, and he did it for 300 years. So the second point we mentioned, now not walking in fellowship now, but walking in a wicked world. Now, if you took the book of Jude and you read some of the verses, and you read some of the verses round about Genesis, you read here that Enoch lived in a world that was morally decaying on every hand. The violence in the land was growing. There was evil all around. Corruption, sin, immorality, everything was creeping in. You know, people tell us that the world's changed. The world's got better. But those words that I've just gone through of morally decaying, growing violence, evil at all hand, corruption, immorality, sin. It's like the world that you and I live in today. Enoch's world, as he knew it, was going to be destroyed by the floods. Remember what Genesis 6 and verse 5 tells us, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. As we look back and we view the life and the world of Enoch, and we look around and we see the world that you and I live in, there's no difference. Some would tell us that the world's got better. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Sin is rampant. Sin is all around. But what I like to understand, walking in a wicked world, Enoch stood out. Enoch was different. He was in the world, but not of it. I want to again challenge our own hearts, and I want to challenge my heart here as well. I want to challenge each and every one of us this afternoon. Do we blend in, or do we stand out? Do we blend in, or stand out? As you and I live in this evil and difficult world that we would live in, and sometimes it's so easy to go with the flow. Not so with Enoch. He was walking with God. He didn't blend in. He stood out. He stood out. And blending in and standing out, we can look again at the various spheres of life. We could maybe think of the assembly. We could maybe think of our work life, our school life, our home life, and where we live in the community, and our neighbors, and what do our neighbors think of us? Do we blend in? Do we blend in or stand out? You know, we live in dark and difficult days. And we know that. And the Lord himself, as he would teach us, and the disciples and others that were teachers in the New Testament would tell us, particularly the Lord's life words in John 17. I'd like to read these words. John 17, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am, are not of the world. The Lord stood out because he was perfect in every way. Listen to what James tells us. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do we blend in or do we stand out? You know, Enoch walked with God. And Enoch walked in a wicked world. A world that's so similar to the world that you and I would work amongst and live amongst. But he didn't blend in. He stood out. Just take a little time, maybe we just turn to the book of Ephesians. Just a bit of a sideline here. I don't want to spend too much time about it. I just want to maybe just take this a little bit further than the other points that I've made about walking with God. The book of Ephesians is full of ways of walking with God. And I just really just want to very quickly just run through seven little points here. So maybe I would encourage us and conscious of the audience here. And as you know, as you think of the olden days, maybe even before my time, you would think of those great. Well, you know, I live in Torston, and through the middle of Torston is Watling Street, the main road before the M1. That was the main road and the main stagecoach road to London. And on that road, you'll see milestones at each point upon that road. Possibly little white little stones with the word London on and certain miles, how many miles left. Well, Ephesians is a bit like that as you go through it. And as you go through the book of Ephesians, you'll see there the seven milestones of walking with God. And we've moved away now maybe from Enoch's life. We want really just to bring it down to New Testament teaching. So maybe as we just go through, and just have your Bible to hand as we go through here. So firstly, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, it tells us there, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. As I look round, I'm sure most of us here are saved. And we can look back to a day when we walked according to the course of this world. I hope we can look back. Our unsaved days, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. But then we got saved. What it tells us in chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We've now been saved. We're going on for Christ. We've been taken up with the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayers. Ordained that we should walk in them. And then in chapter 4, we read in verse 1, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation where ye are called. This goes back to my thought about Enoch. He didn't blend in, he stood out. We should stand out. We should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye were called. Then in chapter 5 and verse 2. Sorry, 14 and verse 17, I think it is. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. There are those that are Christians, but are not taken up with the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayers. Walk not one as other Gentiles. And then in chapter 5 and verse 2, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. You know, Enoch stood out. In a dark and difficult world, he stood out. Do we stand out? Because of our love for Christ. For our love for others. And then last but one in chapter 5 and verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We thought of the dark world that Enoch lived in, the dark world that you and I live in. And we should be shining out in this dark world. And then finally in chapter 5 and verse 25. So 5 and verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And the idea here is to be watching where we walk. Watching where we walk. But finally, Paul reminds us in the book of Romans in chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Enoch walked with God. He stood out. He didn't blend in. And the exhortation that we have from the scriptures this evening is that we too need to stand out and not blend in as we consider walking in a wicked world. Thirdly, as time is going, walking in what pleases God. We read, do we not, in Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 5, that he pleased God. He pleased God. And I suppose the question is, well, how can you please God? Well, let's listen to what Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, will tell us in the book of, in chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I suppose if you want to summarize that, faith is not a loud, showy thing. It's a quiet obedience. It's a quiet obedience. You know, I remember reading the diaries of George Muller, that man of God of yesteryear. And it's amazing as you read those diaries of the man of faith that he was. He wasn't found in some great temple or a great church as such. He wasn't so much found in a public place preaching as such. But he took the exercise and the exercise of faith and of prayer to set up children's homes in and around London. And he was a man of faith. And I'll just give you one example. There was a time when he came and he was sat in the dining table, as he would not always do. And it was probably quite a big dining table, and all the children would have been sat round the outside, all ready for their meals. And yet funds had been depleted. There was no food. There was no milk. There was nothing on the table. And yet George Muller just sat at the table and he just simply prayed to God. And as he was praying, there was a knock on the door. And one of his servants went to the door and just opened it, and there was a man who was a milkman as such. And he was on his way to market, I believe. And the sort of story goes, I believe, his cart had been broken of some kind, his wheel had fallen off or whatever, and he couldn't get there. And he had loads of milk and food on the back of that cart. And he was asking whether the children's home would have any help for it when he needed it. No showy, no big spectacular bangs, but a man of prayer, a man of faith, a man who trusted in God, a man that knew his God would provide. That's how we can please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So how can we please God? I don't think we're going to be like George Muller. Well, maybe we need to go back to the book of Luke in chapter 24, and we read that occasion of those two disciples, I believe a male and a female, a man and a wife, a married couple, who were traveling. And we read there the example there that was given as we think again of how they were reading, talking, and walking with Christ. Remember the occasion when the Lord Jesus Christ opened the scriptures and expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. What a Bible reading that would have been. We need to read the Word of God. And then they were found talking. And although they didn't realize who they were talking to, they were talking to Christ. And they realized that later on as they sat down to break the bread. And I'm sure they saw the nail prints in his hands as they brought the bread at the mealtime there. But they were talking and praying. And they were walking. Their hearts burned within them. Their heart burned within them. As they realized they'd met Christ. They'd walked with Christ. They'd been reading about Christ. They'd been talking to Christ. That's how we can please God. You know, just consider in Hebrews chapter 11. We know Enoch was taken, and we'll consider that in a few moments' time. But Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5 tells us before his translation, he had this testimony. The testimony that we've outlined here, what the scriptures have outlined, that he walked with God. I suppose our equivalent is if we wait for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What testimony do we have? Do men and women recognize us as men and women of God? Most importantly, do we please God? I suppose the question is, if we were taken tonight and the news got round, I wonder what people would remember us by. I wonder what people would remember us by. Would it be our good works? Would it be our friendship? Dare I say, would it be our negative things? Would they say we walked with God? Let's walk in what pleases God. Fourth point, walking close. And speaking clear. We read, did we not, in Jude in chapter in verse 14 that Enoch prophesied. Enoch not only walked privately, as we've said already, but he also walked publicly. There's no mention in Genesis about him preaching. There's no mention in Hebrews about him preaching. But when we come to Jude draws our attention. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. You know, his message included warnings, judgments. He spoke the truth. It was a very difficult message for Enoch to provide. His message, I'm sure, wasn't popular. In Jude, it tells us there were those walking after their own lusts. There were those that were just not interested in what Enoch was telling them. I see the parallels there, do we not, of our own outreach here in Northampton. Even in our world, in our country, and in our town, there are those that don't like the message of the gospel. You know, Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, there is no new thing under the sun. Just in Enoch's day, there were men that were despised, that despised the message. There are days today that people still despise the message of God. But I suppose a challenge to us as we walk with God and walk close with him, we need to speak clear of the truth that we have in the scripture. We all know, I'm sure, that the scriptural foundations that you and I believe in from the word of God are being challenged by so-called Christian circles. There were those, were there not, that would challenge the virgin birth. There were those that say, well, he didn't really die upon a cross. There were those that say, well, he's in a tomb, he didn't raise from the dead. The word of God is often rejected and spoken against. I suppose the challenge to you and I is to walk close and to speak clearly. And I suppose the question that you and I need to ask ourselves this evening, how well do we know this book? How well do we know this book? Sometimes we come into gatherings and we think, well, we know a fair bit. And then something happens and then we find out we know nothing. I sometimes, when I, around the home, you know, the JWs would come to the door, and sometimes I would take the time to speak to them. Sometimes we have to agree to disagree. Because what they believe is not what I believe. From the scriptures. But it's during those conversations I realize that sometimes I don't know as much as I should know. There are questions that I get raised and I know the answer, but I should really know more in-depth answer. We need to get to know the book. Because in the world that you and I live in today, just like Enoch's, the message is not simple. The message is detested. The message is corrupted in certain circles. We need to get back, dare I say, back to basics. Back to the scriptures. But we know as we live in these difficult days, standing up, not blending in, there's a sacrifice that you and I have to make. And Paul would remind us that, does he not, in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, let me read what he says. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We live in a wicked world like Enoch did, but we need to walk close and speak clearly about the things that the Bible tells us to speak of. Let's walk close and speak clearly with him. Well, finally, just my last comment here, walking out of this world. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24 tells us that God took him. God took him. Now, I don't know if you remember, if you read through the book, Genesis chapter 5, we read there, I suppose it reads a bit like a cemetery register. But what do we read? Just turning back to Genesis 5 again. And we'll see there in verse 5, he died. Verse 8, he died. 11, he died. And so on. And yet when we come to Enoch, it changes. And there are two individuals in this passage that are different to the rest of them. We read in verse 1 of Adam, but he wasn't born, but he did die. Enoch was born, but he didn't die. And yet everybody else in that category died, and died. There's no mention of death with Enoch. There's no need for a funeral ceremony. There's no grave to visit. But if he did have a headstone, I wonder what would be written on it. I think Hebrews 11 would maybe simply would give us the words to help us there. That he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. We read tonight as Enoch, he simply just simply walks off the pages of Scripture. I suppose the teaching here is that you walk with God on earth. If you walk with God on earth, you'll dwell in God in heaven. Enoch's faithfulness was awarded with glory. His walk didn't end with a grave. So what happened? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 tells us, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, what's that word translation mean? Well, if you were to get your little Vine's dictionary out, and you look on Vine, he would tell us that the word translation means simply to transfer to another place. He also mentions it similar to a change of position. And if you apply that to what we read here about Enoch's life, he'd been walking with God for over 300 years. Daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, he'd been worshipping and walking with God, being pleasing God, as Hebrews would tell us. Had Enoch changed his position? But notice as well, he didn't change his company. Because on earth, he walked with God. And he was translated. He was transferred to another place. And he walked with God in heaven. In heaven. The essence of the word of my understanding is, if you take a little bit more from what Vine tells us there, he was carried over. The word translated means to carry over. And Enoch didn't see death, did he? He was translated from one place to another. He changed his position, but not his company. He was carried over from earth to heaven. They couldn't find him. That's the idea in the verses that we've read. They couldn't find him. He just disappeared. We read, did we not, in verse 24, Genesis 5, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now we all know, don't we, there are two ways to leave this world. Like Adam and those in that catalogue of individuals in Genesis chapter 5. Like Adam, we die. And we can reflect tonight, can't we? That precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we can look back tonight, I'm sure. Especially of Mother's Day, I'm sure, as well, as we look back. And we can reflect of those that have gone on and passed on and died. But that's not the only way we can leave this world. Enoch was translated. What does the New Testament teaching in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 tell us? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The Hebrew writer would tell us, or joy or delight, should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread and no crying. Caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory, where Jesus receives his own. You know, Enoch was never given a time. Maybe my imagination is running away with me, but he was worshipping and walking with God day by day. And then the time came, he was just taken from earth and translated into heaven. You know, today could be the day when we can be the same. We can be taken from earth and into heaven. In a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. So I hope tonight, as we've considered these little five little headings, scattered thoughts I know, simple thoughts I know too, but as we've been able to think of walking in fellowship and how Enoch walked with God for over 300 years, we've been able to think of walking in a wicked world, and we've been able to take our minds back to the book of Ephesians, and we've been able to walk through those milestones of life. And we may be at different stages in our lives. And then we thought that we're not walking in what pleases God. And then we thought of walking close and speaking clearly of the things that we've learned and telling others of Christ. And then we thought about him, Enoch, walking out of this world. You know, the Bible tells us the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I'll leave you with that verse found in Titus. As I was packing the houses during the week, we came across this text, one of my favorite texts. We're exhorted to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Let's take these lessons from Enoch. Not much is said about him, but I'm hoping these lessons would encourage us upon our pilgrim pathway. For today could be the day when we shall see Christ as he is, face to face. If not, we can continue to walk with God and walk closely with reading and praying and talking to God to encourage our hearts as we go on for the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father,